in a colorless landscape. The future has promise. What the world needs is a shining hope. Bringing talk radio back to life. Welcome to WMLR. More Life Radio. It's real radio on a blog platform. WMLR Radio. How hot is hot?
On the corner, death on the corner. We fight until our very last breath on the corner. Corner.
I wish I could keep you spinning. I wish I could keep you spinning. On the corner, niggas driving, killing, dying just to make a living.
The corner was our magic, our music, our politics. Fires raised as tribal dances and war cries broke out on different corners.
City block, I fall from a simple man, something jumping off on all of them. The church, the chicken shack, the liquor store, the dope house, the bell bar, the nail salon, the barber shop, the stone house. They're young and blowing that smoke out, he high five. They body body, no power out, it's a live wise. The block wide, the shots five, from high eyes. A cold world for the hot summers and loud sirens. Cane slangers and game bangers and lane changers, elders anxiety prone, literally teenagers. They whispering, man, you can't change in the streets, racing. They on the block like they ain't neighbors, they straight strangers. Grandmama hit me with three words, son, keep praying. This shorty hit me with three more, son, keep blazing. They both deep statements from two unique places. Real forever real, I just love to hear the streets saying, Jonas,
I wish I could keep it spinning. I wish I could keep
welcome, your number one station focused on rebuilding our nation proudly presents Khonsu's Corner. With your host, Khonsu Sesmu Amun, exclusively on WMLR, More Life Radio. And now, get ready to change your matrix. Here's the king. And welcome to Corner.
Peace, love, power. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the one and only Khonsu Sesmu Amun right here on WMLR, More Life Radio. Man, bringing you the business. When I say the business, I mean the business. Man, today is going to be a power-packed show. It's really a part two to the show I did last Friday, everybody. It's the Wealth of Social Change. And today, man, I'm bringing some power-packed information. I also have special guest. Me being from Chicago, this is an honor for me to have this guest here on the show tonight. We're going to have him come on a little bit later, and he's going to talk about an influential and powerful group called NEC. And I'm going to let him break that down and tell you what it means, but it is a critical cog in the Black African Power Movement, talking about Black power and power to the people. He really helps affect the social change within our communities from a ground level, hand to hand. He's out there meeting those people. So I'm going to have him just, you know, give him the spotlight because I really respect this brother Askari. Man, I can't wait for you guys to meet him. He's going to really break down really what goes on with social change today, especially from the city of Chicago, my home city, where there's so much violence going on. So we're going to really break that down and get into the mechanics of social change. Now, with that being said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come right back, and we're going to get into some elements of social change. I kind of want to talk about the elements of culture. I want to talk about ethnicity, nationality, race, heritage, and culture, okay? I even want to get into the sociology of race and ethnic relations when it comes to race and ethnicity. So I really want to get into the mechanics more so than when I talked about the general understanding last week. So everybody sit back, relax, and get ready, man. I'm bringing that work tonight. This is the one and only Khonsu Sheshmoamun, and you're listening to Khonsu's Corner right here on WMLR. We'll be right back.
Hotep, children of the sun, and thank you once again for tuning in to your number one station focused on rebuilding our nation, WMLR, More Life Radio. Tonight's broadcast is being brought to you by Wanda King's Gift Baskets and More. Gifts for any occasion. For ordering information, call 614-254-0634 or 614-929-8486. That's Wanda King's Gift Baskets and More. The Renaissance Hair Company, Regal Elegance for the distinguished queen. For product info and pricing, contact the Burroughs Brothers. Online, rhairco.com or call 267-888-7472. Also reach them via email, rhairco@gmail.com. You can also contact them on Instagram @_Renaissance_HairCo. The Renaissance Hair Company. Regal elegance for the distinguished queen. Tease Me Cafe. Custom quality teas. Contact Brenda Gray at 615-601-8030. You can also reach them online at their website, teasemecafe.com. That's TEESMECAFE.com. Also reach them via email, tmc@teasemecafe.com. There's no minimum quantity, but guaranteed quality. Samuel Rain Benjamin, also known as Complicated Passions, author and king of the spoken word of love. Samuel Rain Benjamin, it's complicated, but not really. The WMLR sponsorship packages. Affordable advertisement done professionally for your small business needs. Contact Tahuti the Fly Virgo for package information and pricing at 614-354-2201. That's the WMLR sponsorship packages. And last but not least, Graphics by Julian. For your needs in flyers, book covers, magazine covers, business card designs, contact Tahuti the Fly Virgo at 614-354-2201. Graphics by Julian. Thank you once again for tuning in to Real Radio on a blog talk platform, WMLR, More Life Radio. Now, back to our show, to our show, to our show, to our show, to our show.
You're listening to Khonsu's Corner, right here on WMLR, More Life Radio.
talking about? You mm-hmm. name one of them that put their own dough up. You, a boss, you're only the boss if you put up your own money. If you don't put up your own money, I don't care how much somebody gives you, you're nothing but a supervisor. It's not yours. So how much money can you get paid to not... there's no money in this world for someone to pay me so they could call me, so I could call them a boss. That's like calling somebody daddy. That's, how can a man call another man, yo, that's my boss? We don't do that.
I mean, everybody at some point
no,
has to have
don't.
A boss, right?
No, not in Harlem. Oh, okay. Put it like this.
Because you're somebody's boss.
No, I'm not somebody's boss. I'm. When I was in the street,
mm-hmm.
someone wasn't your boss. They gave you an opportunity.
Okay.
They gave you some work. You go make it, and then you bring it back. You can go buy your own work. You do whatever you want. It's called consignment.
So why this can't be all work? This corporate America, we could be using
you don't
this.
Own it.
But I'm telling you why.
Question. Let me ask you a question. Can you give it to your son?
Tell you what to my son.
Whatever you
Shares
working
of this company,
for.
Yeah. I absolutely positively can.
How?
Why? Because I own shares of this company.
You bought them?
Yes.
What I'm saying is, can your son eat? Is this yours to give the whole company
this
to you?
This whole company is not my son's. No.
Exactly.
It's not mine. But
can,
I own
wait, stop. Listen. Listen. That's not my question. If your son needs a job here, can you give it to him? No.
No.
If your son needs to get some money out the bank from here, some cash flow, can he get it?
No.
All right. You don't own this.
But I can
stop.
I can take the money from here to invest in myself.
No, it's not yours. I'm not going to fight for something I don't own. Men don't do that. I don't fight for other niggas. I fight for me. I'm not a doula. I'm not going to build somebody else's company and then take shares so my son can... All that.
But I'm not
no, listen.
Company,
listen,
though.
What I'm saying.
But what about taking
I'm
the money?
You come to work
way,
every
you took
day.
The money from
I didn't take. Wait, stop. Don't say you're speaking my business and you don't know what you're talking about. I ain't take no money from Def Jam. What you talking about?
What I mean,
about?
Take. I mean, they cut you a
no,
check.
No, they didn't cut me a check. We had a formula based on performance, and they calculated, and we got paid.
That's
and they
said,
stop. That's not us.
That's what we
no,
doing.
No. We listen. Before we had Rockefeller. We put up our own money for Rockefeller, right?
Okay.
Then we sold half of it. We became partners. So that means no one gave us anything. We were 50-50 partners. We built something and sold it. That doesn't mean you work for somebody. See, they let you believe that. So then what happened was, based on a formula, you know what a formula is? It was profit times a certain number. So if you make this much profit times 7, that's how much your number is.
Okay.
Based on that formula, they bought the rest. That's it. That's not nobody giving me money. I never worked for them. I put up way more money than Def Jam put up. Me, Biggs, and Jay put way more money up into Def Jam. I mean, rather into Rockefeller than Def Jam. All they did was collect our money. What you mean? Why do you think Def Jam, they, first of all, when we were with Def Jam, they were bought by Universal. How you going to call Def, how you going to think of someone that's bought by someone could be someone's boss? That's my point. You have to understand what you're doing in business because you got to do what's best for your kids. What's best for your kids is to put your money into something, distress, go through all of it, so when your child becomes a man, he doesn't have to work for nobody.
Right, well, that's the
you
whole
can
thing.
Just pass it to him.
Now, you talk about...
So if you're going to work 20 years in a business or 15 years in a business every day over and over again, and your son can't work here whenever he feel like it, you're clowning
well,
me.
I don't want him to work
but
here.
But that's
the
not
thing.
Saying... You,
I'm
if you own it, wait a second.
I'm
if,
here because
time
I
out.
I don't need a check
that's
here.
Stupid. You
that's
should
like
be...
Murder
time out.
Rap because you
nope.
enjoy it, not
nope.
because you want
nope.
a check.
You're wrong.
I'm here because
I like
I'm
the check.
It.
Wait, time out, time
I'm
out.
Here because
time
I'm
out,
here.
Time out. You're lying.
I don't need a check.
Before you lose your control, just stay focused. So listen to me.
I work here because I enjoy it.
Why don't you listen?
I work here for free.
Who could work... Would you ever enjoy being a slave?
I'm not. It's not a slave. This is what I enjoy.
I don't think
it's
a slavery
thing.
Do you have to come to work today? Do you have a choice?
Do
you have to ask somebody when you
anything.
Have to? Yes, you do.
I don't.
Or
I
you're fired.
Don't.
Can somebody tell you you're fired?
I don't.
Can somebody tell you you're fired? Yes or no?
And be good.
Can another man say you're fired?
Absolutely.
No one can tell me that. And that's priceless to
but
me.
But I'm here because
I don't
enjoy
care.
It.
You enjoy
but
having
enjoy
a man
it.
Be able
I
to tell you you're fired?
But
you enjoy, okay, let me ask you a question. So you're being selfish. Do you think your son enjoys you calling somebody else a boss? Don't you think your son would rather wake up with you and you could pick him up from school instead of having to do a 9-to-5? Don't you think? Yeah, all right, but don't you have to wake up
day.
At 4 a.m? Don't you think your son would love if his name was up there, Dash, or whatever your last name is instead of somebody else's?
It's
my pride is in my children.
But
like, look what I'm doing right now. Look at my son. I taught my son never to have a boss. He's 23. He owns a restaurant. He has cookies. He has equity. He busts his ass so he can pass it on to his son. If that's not what you're hustling for, you're selfish.
What?
You keep saying I'm worried about my kids. You worried about you.
My kids are good.
How they
my
good?
Kids
your
are
kids
good.
Aren't going to be kids.
I feel like I'm in the Def Jam boardroom and backstage.
They're kids, they're not supposed to work. I'm saying when they men, you're supposed to pass them
something.
You're working for another man.
They're worried about their
to me, this is retarded.
Can you ask some questions? I feel like I'm in Def Jam boardroom. This is not backstage. Everybody cool out for a second. But Dave, I'm going to ask you a question. You're a businessman.
Absolutely.
What's wrong with taking the money from here and investing it into other stuff that we own?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Thank you.
Everybody eat a cookie. Listen, cool out for a second.
I'm not mad. The mentality is this. It's frustrating. Because you're on the radio, and this message is crazy to me. You're saying because you enjoy music or being a DJ, you enjoy having a boss. If you enjoy being a DJ, just why don't you own your own radio station and then DJ for your own radio station so your son can just get on anytime he wants. That's all I'm saying.
But it's steps
you
to
enjoy,
it, though.
No, there's no steps to it because I do it. See, you enjoy the safety and the security of a job every day. But there's no pride in that to me. My son takes pride. My kids take pride in the fact that I have Dash Motors. And because I have that, my son said, I'm not going to ever have a boss. His mentality is different. It's just about changing mentality.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is
man, WMLR, More Life Radio. It's your one and only Khonsu Sheshmoor-Amoon. Man, let me tell you, I love that clip. I'm going to play it. I'm going to keep playing it. I want my listeners and everybody that listens to WMLR to really, really understand what the man Dame Dash was talking about. And this is relevant and actually prevalent in our black community, man. We really, really got to understand the importance of independence and owning your own and creating your own and leaving wealth of knowledge and ownership with your descendants as you become an ancestor. And we have to understand that and respect it, man. It's all that we have with our culture. And I'm going to break down the difference between ethnicity, nationality, race, and culture later on in the show. And we're going to have a special guest that's actually going to be coming up as well, that's going to talk about social revolution, really another aspect of sociology and social change. And it's so important, man. And that's why I wanted to play one of my favorite clips, if you haven't figured it out yet. Dame Dash on The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne Tha God. They had an interview with Dame Dash, and he broke down exactly what I try to teach and preach to everybody that comes and listens and hangs out on Khonsu's Corner, man. Every single day I try to bring this information to my people and have African liberation through finance and the wealth of knowledge. It's so important, so important. Now, what I want to start the show off with, man, we're talking about social change tonight, and I wanted to talk about the elements of culture, the importance of culture, why culture plays a pivotal role in the development of our people, and how we need to start recognizing what is African culture. Because African culture actually has 8 elements, as all cultures do, and we have to invest and cultivate these elements. And I mentioned this in a past show, actually last week's show, and I wanted to reiterate it because I think it's so important. The first element would be symbols. Signs and symbols, man, go back to our primordial existence, to when we actually were one with nature and understanding a natural theology, a natural religion, as we related to nature and the ability to live from what nature gives us. Okay, so symbols are anything that carries particular meaning, which is actually recognized by people who share the same culture. So anything that carries a particular meaning sometimes is recognized by people that carry the same culture. In Africa, we have the ankh. The ankh has a powerful, powerful meaning, right? We also have symbols like Sankofa, okay, and Inyame, okay, that permeate African culture through symbology. So this is very, very important and a true, true facet in elements of culture. Number 2 would be language, okay? And language is a system of symbols that allows people to communicate with one another. So now, even though we use symbols, now we use certain symbols in the form of tones and sounds. And we use that so that we can communicate with one another in our own culture. in our own way, our own slang. And so in our culture, we do. As African people, we have our own way of communication that strictly belongs to us and gives us an affinity for our culture because we speak the way we speak with pride. Want to understand that? Number three is volume or values. Okay, sorry about that. Values, that is the third. So we had symbols, we had language. Now we're talking about values. And what I mean with values is it's kind of culturally defined standards of desirability, goodness, beauty, and, you know, and many other things that serve as a broad guideline for social living, okay? Those are our values, our core values, okay? Beliefs, that's number four. So we got symbols, language, values, now beliefs. And beliefs really are specific statements that people hold to be true. What they believe in, certain models, certain quotes that they have an affinity for. That would be basically what these things mean, okay? So the next facet would be actually one that I think is really, really powerful, which are the norms, okay? So we dealt with symbols, language, values, beliefs. Now we're going into norms. Well, norms are rules and expectations by which a society guides the behavior of its members. So the two types of norms are morals and folkways. Now, mores are norms that are widely observed and have a great moral significance. And folkways are norms for routine casual interaction. Okay? So your mores are those norms that have great moral significance, such as respect your parents. Raise your children, keep them first. These things, these are mores. Folkways are norms for routine casual interaction. Smile when you walk by. Say hello and good morning as you greet someone. Be mannerable. You see what I'm saying? So these are norms that are used in everyday culture. And that's very powerful because that actually turns into how we actually treat each other under the auspicity of, in my opinion, altruism, which we should practice the art of giving without expecting anything in return. When you give without expecting anything in return, then it really, 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 it changes you as a person, okay? And so this is so important, so important. Now, we've covered symbols, language, values, beliefs, and norms. Now, number six is behavioral patterns, okay? And behavioral patterns we really have to watch. We suffer from erratic behavioral patterns because we have been subject to trauma from being slaves, okay? And actually, we were prisoners of war that were forced into indentured servitude for lifetime contracts and without pay. We were put in this position of chattel slavery by oppressors, right? So in our case, it's very special how we actually comprehend things. And we're very sensitive to anything that attacks our race. Okay? And so this is really what affects us on a general. Okay? So behavioral patterns is really the typical manner in which people perform production. I'll give you some examples. Manual, manufactured, automated in various degrees. Okay, the way we communicate, examples of communication are language content, technology choices, the way we mark significant events in our behavior, such as rituals of endorsing values and punctuating steps in personal life, like graduation, marriage, a raise at a job, things like that, a funeral. These are some of our behavioral patterns that are developed. Satisfying basic needs like dwelling, feeding, security, sex, reproduction, entertainment, and the like. All of these things are behavioral patterns. And if you pay attention to your behavioral patterns, you will notice that we definitely have been affected by post-traumatic slave syndrome. I really have to give honor and praise to the work that was given by Dr. Amos, Dr. Joy DeGruy, and Dr. Francis Quest Welsing, who championed the understanding and studying of post-traumatic slave syndrome as it has affected us, all right? So this has been an ongoing study, and we really see the detrimental effects of it, okay? Social institutions. Now, we've covered symbols, language, values, beliefs, excuse me, norms, behavioral patterns, and social institutions are coming up next. And what those are patterns of organization and relationships regarding governance, production, socializing, education, knowledge creation, art, and relating to other cultures. What do we call that, everybody? That is school. When you go to school and you go to different classes, these are social institutions. When you go to church, these are social institutions. Going to clubs and things like that, this is where we interact socially. So we have to pay attention to the patterns of organization and relationship regarding these social institutions, because they ultimately will be benefactors of our behavioral patterns. So I'm putting these things in a certain order of how cultures are developed. First with symbols, second with language, third with values, four with beliefs, five with norms to those beliefs, and then six with behavioral patterns coming from those norms, and now social institutions that come from behavioral patterns that develop relationships. Last but not least, artifacts. These are things that basically are distinct material objects, such as architecture, technologies, and artistic creation, things that can be left behind for your descendants as you pass on, right, into the afterlife. As you pass on, you leave these tokens, these stories, these books, jewelry, art, things of this nature, really keeps our culture thriving and perpetuates our culture. So we have to take stock in those things. So those who are living, such as myself and everyone that's listening, think about that. Think about these eight elements of culture, and in that order, think about your symbols, and with those symbols, your language, right? And with your language, the values that you adopt from your social discourse, then your beliefs that come from your values, your norms that are established because of your symbols, languages, and values and beliefs, and because they become norms, you develop behavior patterns from these norms. And from these behavior patterns, you now create social institutions like schools and churches, and from those social institutions, artifacts are created by understanding family structure and also building great monolithic structures for the world to see as your culture moves on. So we have to really pay attention to those things, man. Those things are very, very powerful, okay? And they really determine basically how we interact, right? How we value each other, how we will eventually, okay, raise our level of awareness. You see what I'm saying? It is so, so pertinent, so pertinent in our culture. Now, one other facet, and for those who are listening in, let me do this and do me this favor. 646 area code 564-9589 is the call-in number. If you're listening and you have a comment, question, or concern, you're motivated to speak about it, call in and press that 1. When you press that 1, you'll be able to talk. And, you know, just come spend some time with your boy, Kansu. Once again, that's 646 area code 564-9589. Now, of course, I wanted to get into the sociology of race and ethnic relations because there is a difference between the two. And sometimes people get those things confused, okay? And I want to go in a little deeper because I want to talk about ethnicity, nationality, race, heritage, and culture. I kind of touched on it last week, and I wanted to expound on it a little deeper because we really don't take time to study our culture, our African culture. It is nothing wrong with being African-centered, okay? But when you're Afrocentric, be careful of being labeled or using the same tactics a white supremacist would use. You become a black supremacist because you want to be an answer to the white supremacist. The only way to deal with a white supremacist is through justice. It's not about hurting humanity or killing people that don't look like you. That will make you no better than the oppressor, that European that hates you. There are good white people. There are good Europeans out there. Yeah, I said it. Hopefully you can handle it. There are good Europeans out there, or what we call white people, and they are not. They are supremacists. And then we have black supremacists that make us look bad as black people, that ravage and damage our communities and hurt their own kind. So we have black supremacists as well as Caucasians or Europeans, white people, whatever you call them. They have those same things going in their communities. We can't knock a person coming from Italy that moves here and they directly benefit from the actions that were happen that had happened in this white supremacy system. Is it their fault? Is it their fault that they were born? It's not their fault that they were born and they're put in that position. They're in that position, but what can they do about it? We have to change our situation and the way that we handle things and the way that we protect our social capital. That is so, so important. We have to really pay attention to our social capital, man. So that is very, very important. And we got to take into consideration that we're our own worst enemy. Until we get ourselves together, until we are peers in respecting one another, we cannot expect to deal with the problem of European white supremacy and racism. We have to practice altruism and the respect for one another within our own respective communities. We have to get rid of things like colorism, right? We have to get rid of things like self-hate and low self-esteem and start building the black family once again. That's really, really important. And what I want to say about race, let me say this. Race, or basically what is called human categorization, that's what race really is. Race as a social construct is a group of people who share similar and distinct physical characteristics, as well as shared cultural practices and affections, okay? And those affectations could be a myriad of things, okay? So that's just layman's term for the term of race. When we get into ethnicities, right, an ethnic group is a category of people who identify with each other based on common language, ancestral, social, cultural, or national experiences. Now, these are general terms, right? When we start getting into the deep understanding, we look at ethnicity and we see that it's based on a group, basically called an ethnic group. Now, this is normally based on similar traits. They normally have a common language, right? Like I said, a common heritage and cultural similarities within the group. Now, other variables that play a role in ethnicity, though not in all cases, include a geographical connection to a particular place, common foods and diets, and even perhaps a common faith. So they share the same faith system. So race is a word with similar meaning, though describing more physical traits as opposed to the cultural traits of ethnicity. Now, when it's not used as a social construct in the terms of race, race is similar to ethnicity, but relates more to the appearance of a person, especially the color of their skin, because race is determined biologically and includes other inherited genetic traits, such as hair and eye color, and bone and jaw structure, among other things. And a lot of times when people get into arguments, let's say evolution versus creationism, right? When they get into those kind of diatribes, and those kind of arguments, then what happens is they tend to mix and put race where ethnicity should be and vice versa. When you're arguing a person's religion, you cannot use their race as a means to argue it. You can't say that Christianity is not for black people. That's totally different, because an African can adopt an ethnic tradition, because an African or someone that fits the description of an African person or the African race may choose to adopt other ethnic byproducts or social constructs. Because if we understand the elements of change in social structure, we understand those elements, we got to get back to those norms, those behavior patterns, the language, all of these things that develop and put a person in that position. So that black person may not have had an option. What if that black person grew up around
nothing but Europeans. Well, quite naturally, they're going to take on those ethnic traits. Even though that person may be black as a race, genetically and phenotypically, because of the environment they are in, they're going to take on those ethnic traits. Does that make that person wrong? Does that make that black person bad because they act white? Well, they're acting white because they were raised in a culture of white people. So they're only going to adapt to their surroundings. So we got to take that hate-minded thought of racism out of our heads and start thinking justice and respect for humanity, because we come in all shapes, colors, and sizes, and all human beings are one. We are human at the end of the day. And some of us who are filled with hate and filled with anger just don't want to accept that fact. We still want to find a way to want to kill white folks and hate white folks. And I can't stand whitey and all of these other foolish, non-productive things. But what are you doing productive for the black community? While you're saying you hate these white people, what are you doing to further the struggle? What are you doing to make it better for white people every day? Are you putting your 5 cents in, right? So we talked about race, but let's get into nationality, right? We talked about ethnicity. We talked about race, but what about nationality? And we've been hearing that a lot. And 90% of the time, nationality really refers to the place where the person was born and or holds citizenship, right? So you have some people that talk about Moor science and they're Moors and all of this. Well, what term do you mean? Because that doesn't mean your nationality. How can you tell me you're a Moor and that's your nationality when you know that's not the definitive term? You got to be clear on what you're saying. So if I ask you, where were you born, and you say Brooklyn, I say, well, are there Brooklyn Moors? Is there a nation of Moors in Brooklyn? I don't see Brooklyn on the map. I don't see them. I'm sorry. I don't see your land of Moors on the map. You gave me a word called Morocco and a word called Mauritania, where the Moors are, but you were born here. Where's your citizenship? Here. Are you saying they forced you into becoming an American citizen, but you were born here? So that's synonymous with the term nationality. And however, oftentimes nationality can be determined by place of residence, ethnicity, or national identity. So if a person was born, let's say, in country A, but immigrated to country B while still a toddler, yes, with their family, he or she might identify more with country B nationality, having been raised there. Another point regarding nationality is that there are some nations that don't have a state or international recognition as such. So yet people may still point at it as the source of their nationality, such as the Palestinians, the Kurds, and the Tamils. These are working illustrations of those who do things like that. Okay? Now, Article 15 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights states that everyone has the right to a nationality, right? And no one shall be arbitrarily deprived of his nationality, nor denied the right to change his nationality, okay? So let me add two more things in to add to the confusion, because you don't have, you can pick whatever nationality you want, okay? And when I brought up the Moore situation, my situation is just say that you're picking the right to be a Moore. Don't say that's what we need to be. Now you're becoming a culture vulture. Now you're forcing a culture upon people based upon ignorance. You're not really telling them, you know, the nationality don't matter. You don't have to be a Moorish national, and you can still be American and be a Moor. They're not telling you that part. What they're telling you is all or nothing. Be a part of this, or you can't be a part of it at all. That's where the trickery comes in. That's where the problem comes in. That's where the selling of your behavioral culture comes into play. That's when you're trying to push your ethnicity on me with false information. Tell the truth about Article 15 and let me know it's a choice. Brother, if you still want to be Irish, you can be Irish, but you can still be a Moorish national if you choose to. Right? So let's talk about the definitions of those words, right? Citizen. Now, really, what a citizen is, everybody, is a citizen is typically either born in the country born of citizens of the country, born the citizens of the country, okay, while abroad, married to a citizen of the country, or becomes a citizen through naturalization process. And a citizen is really a complete member of the nation, able to vote and hold elected office. Okay? That is what a citizen is. Now, you may hear this term, national. All right? Well, a national is a person born in an area that is in the possession of a country, but not part of its general administrative area. For example, American Samoa is an unincorporated territory of the United States, and its people are considered U.S. nationals. So American Samoans may not vote in United States presidential elections or hold elected office in the U.S., but they are entitled to free and unrestricted entry into the United States. That is a national, right? So that's just to add more misunderstanding, and I'm not trying to do that intentional, but to put something on your mind when you hear people talking about the sovereign or the nationals. Well, please explain to me specifically what do you mean and what makes you different from being a citizen. If you're getting public assistance, if you're using United States currency, right? If you're working a job within the United States, you have to be a citizen to do that, not a national, all right? Let's get even deeper. Let's talk about heritage, culture, and identity. Now, these three things here have some really, really powerful implications, okay, when we talk about those three facets, and it really does affect your overall makeup, okay, when it comes to supporting and protecting your social capital, okay? So this is very important. When we talk about heritage can really overlap on the ethnicity and nationality a bit at times. It can overlap into those two things because it generally refers to the ancestors of a person and what they identified with. Let me give you an example. A child born to naturalized U.S. citizens, let's say hailing from Venezuela, could say they have a Venezuelan heritage, right? And even if they don't share the ethnicity, perhaps they can't speak Spanish, right? And they are American as far as the nationality. So they may bring certain heritage that overlaps the ethnicity and nationality of where they presently are, because of their ancestry and because their ancestors came from Venezuela. And that child was born to naturalized U.S. citizens, which were their Venezuelan parents that eventually gave birth to them. So they carried on the heritage as their parents did of Venezuela, even though their parents became naturalized citizens. So this is why in America, you have a melting pot of people that bring many, many heritages to this land. So it's kind of ludicrous for one group of people to say that we were the indigenous people of this entire land and it all belonged to us. Well, you give me the ethnic group called American. Show me an American practice. Or is that Americans have many heritages that develop and create America? Okay? Now, one powerful thing, and this is very powerful to the black, organized, Afrocentric mind, is culture. Because culture is kind of similar to ethnicity, yet more of a microcosm of it. Because culture may involve one trait or characteristic, sort of like a subset of the various traits that make up an ethnicity. Perhaps a person may be ethnically Jewish, or they could subject themselves to simply one or two things of Jewish culture, such as wearing a kippah, okay? So this person may not necessarily relate with the entire macro ethnicity that is being, let's say, Jewish. May not necessarily relate to that, okay? But they do understand and adopt the culture, all right? Let's go into identity. Identity is whenever a person identifies with more, whether it be, let's say they identify with more than just the culture, whether it be a particular country, ethnicity, religion, etc., right? There's a great article by Zeba Khan, that's Zeba, Z-E-B-A-K-H-A-N, on MuslimMatters.org. She was born in America to a Pakistani father and an American woman of Irish descent. She doesn't identify with either Pakistan or Ireland. Too white for Pakistan, too dark for Ireland. And not much with America. She wears a hijab and eats halal. So what she does identify with is her Muslim faith, which is similar across boundaries throughout the world. See? So when you get questions like, or you're asked in the wrong manner, where are you from? There usually is no offensive motive intended. These are colloquial terms that have been accepted into common parlance. And once you understand and recognize the difference between these words, it is important to remember to not get offended when someone approaches you with a misworded question. Just as we can better ourselves by learning the politically correct phrases to ask, and we also need to understand others and look at pure intent rather than semantics. Okay? So these things are real, real important, man. We have to really kind of understand exactly how that affects us in the long run, okay, and how that really clouds our minds, clouds our thinking. I mean, it's terrible what this actually does to us. Once again, everybody, I mean, I hope that you're really paying attention to what I've said, because this is some powerful, powerful information. You're listening to Consul Muamun right here on WMLR, your number one station for rebuilding the African nation. And I mean, I love talking about sociology and social change, as you can see. And I appreciate everyone that listens to Consul's Corner. Coming up this Sunday, I believe it's going to be the Queen Neferkah. And of course, I'm sorry, this Saturday. Neferkah is actually coming on Sunday. But this Saturday, we're going to have the morning edition of More Love, and it's going to be Fly to Hootie, the Virgo of all Virgos, and Nabah, as they talk about more love. And it's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope you guys listen too, because they really have great dialogue. So tune in this Saturday morning for that program, 9 a.m. Tune in for this Saturday morning. And, of course, reference 9 a.m. Central to all the other towns across the country. And I'm sure you're going to enjoy that show. So what I'm going to do right now, man, is I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to give everybody time to clear their thoughts, get their minds in order, and, you know, we'll be right back. So everybody sit back, relax. You're listening to Consul's Corner right here on WMLR.
Get ready to change your matrix. Consul's Corner. Consul every Friday night. God manifest on your number one station, focused on rebuilding our nation. WMLR, More Life Radio. Real radio on a Blog Talk platform.
Yo, hit me out, 976. Don't slow, turn, just like that. see you on the Twitter. I like that. See, oh, yo, me and you, girl, going off. Yo, come to my crib. Let's get in some business with me. What you wanna do? Nigga, they agree. It's gotta be like that. Like it's gotta be. This gonna try me. Funky. This how I do it. Hey, yo, yo. This is for the ladies. Hey, yo, yo. Let me get funky. Just like so. I get on the mic. Drop on the floor. So y'all niggas might know. How about this lady? Look at this one. She looking good. She gonna get done. I swear to God. Come on. Let me tell you something. Anyway, go, lady. Go, lady.
Do it. Yo, come on, everybody, get down with us. We make the music sound marvelous. Corny guns, bigger scandalous. I got something waiting for you, vandalous. It's in a stash box of one of my trucks that be scooping up the ladies like a spatula. Knowing damn well I ain't no bachelor. Who can I ain't asking y'all. As long as she ain't fat, I can handle her. Yo, just cool it with you. Yo, it's for the ladies. Hey, yo. It feels good, clap your hands, it's a sign of Come on, everybody, get down with Come on, everybody, get down. Check it out.
Go, ladies. Go, ladies. Go, ladies. Go, ladies.
Check it out.
Go, ladies. Go, ladies.
Check it out.
Go, ladies. Go, ladies.
I can picture you, girl, in the back. Naked in my crib, girl. What's up? You can see me chilling in my black poop mama. Ladies, come and go with number deficit, cuz I never sweat it, cuz I know who they was. See, we super duper duper since the brain's broke, father. Coney Garden, Mac, Nick, always making the ladies moving. Who is my motive? The train is on the scene, and it's long as a locomotive. When I'm on the mic, I never give a fuck. Make moves. Check out all the ladies in the place. If you got big bread, come over to my place. We can play jack.
Go, ladies. 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 Go, ladies.
WMLR, Kansu Shesmu Amun, that's my jam. That is my jam. That is Slum Village Go Ladies by the late, great Jay Dilla, the late, great B from the Slum Village rap group. Man, I love Slum Village. That's probably one of my favorite, all-time favorite rap groups, man. Slum Village. So shout out to the real hip-hop kings out of Detroit, Slum Village. And let's get back to the show, man. I'm really enjoying bringing this information. I want to kind of bring one last facet. This was a part two to an ongoing series that I had last week presentation about the wealth of social change and understanding sociology on a whole when it comes to being black and really relating to your African culture, your center. And I really want to kind of reemphasize ethnicity. And talk about the ethnic group again, because a lot of times we get that misconstrued. Because remember, with the ethnic group, that tends to be defined by a shared cultural heritage. And I talked about heritage earlier, your ancestry, your origins and myth, right? History, your homeland, your language, or even your dialect of a language, such as we speak American, which is a dialect of English, your symbolic systems like the American flag or the cross, or the Ankh, or the six-pointed star, All of these are symbolic systems that become norms in everyone's ethnic base, okay? Such as religion, mythology, storytellers, right? Storytales that are passed from elder to descendant, right? Rituals, cuisine, your dressing style, your art, physical appearance. All of these are ethnic, are conducive to different ethnic groups. Now, ethnic groups fall into the study of anthropology. So when you start talking about ethnic groups, realize you're talking about a subset of anthropology. So to get a well-rounded understanding of ethnic groups, one should study anthropology. That'll lead you back to the foundation study of anthropology. Okay? And then that when you study and understand anthropology, which is the study of humankind, you then can understand ethnic groups and how they become affected by social and political propaganda. We can see these things and how ethnic groups overlap one another sometimes forcefully. And different races do it to each other. All right? Henceforth, racist, who pushes their ethnic culture on another by downing one person's culture and making their culture supreme. Henceforth, a white supremacist or a Eurocentric. And so when you're Afrocentric, that means that it's just to balance out a Eurocentric. But being African-centered is something totally different, okay? So really, ethnic groups derive from the same historiological or historical founder population and often continue to speak related languages and then share a similar gene pool and may be grouped as ethno-linguistic groups such as Iranian people, Slavic people, Bantu people, Turkic people, Austronesian people, Neolithic peoples, etc., you know. So by the way of language shift, acculturation, adoption, and religious conversion, it is possible for some individuals or groups to leave one ethnic group and become part of another, except for ethnic groups emphasizing racial purity as a key membership criterion. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. You have certain races, right, that said, no racial mixing. Those groups emphasize racial purity. You had periods in history where that was prevalent, okay? But most ethnic groups, they can leave one and become part of another because it has nothing to do with your race. It's just one race of people and another race of people coming together instead of dealing with themselves. Now, ethnicity is often used synonymously with ambiguous terms, such as nation or people. That's very ambiguous. It's not specific, okay? And in English, it can also have the connotation of something exotic, like white ethnic or ethnic restaurant, etc. So depending on which source of group identity is emphasized to define membership, the following types of often mutually overlapping groups can be identified. So we look at certain groups and how they identify. Ethno-linguistic, you may hear that term. And that really means that it's emphasizing shared language, dialect, or script. A good example that you can use to research is Gaels, and that's G-A-E-L-S. That particular language is actually a shared language of dialect and possibly script. So that's ethno-linguistic. Ethno-national is emphasizing a shared polity or sense of national identity. Example, the Iraqis. Many different people in Iraq that share that national ethnicity, okay, or shared polity, all right? Then you have ethno-racial, and that's emphasizing shared physical appearance based on genetic origins. Example, Afro-Brazilians. They are ethno-racial because they share physical appearance based on genetic origins. You have ethno-regional, which emphasizes a distinct local sense of belonging stemming from relative geographic isolation, such as South Islanders. Okay? And because of that isolation in that region, they become ethno-regional. You have ethno-religious, which emphasizes on shared affiliation with a particular religion, denomination, or sect. like the Shiks. Okay, so in many cases, for instance, the sense of Jewish peoplehood, more than one aspect determines membership when it comes to ethno-religion. And the largest ethnic groups in modern times usually comprise hundreds of millions of individuals. Okay, the actual largest is the Han Chinese, being the largest ethnic group, while the smallest are limited to a few dozen individuals. Numerous indigenous people worldwide. So you got races like the Han Chinese that are many races of Chinese that have come together under one adoptive ethnicity practice. And then you have small people limited to a few dozen numerous indigenous people worldwide. So larger ethnic groups may be subdivided into small subgroups known variously as tribes or clans, which over time may become separate ethnic groups themselves due to an endogamy or physical isolation from the parent group. So conversely, formerly separate ethnicities can merge to form a pan-ethnicity and may eventually merge into one single ethnicity. Whether through division or amalgamation, the formation of a separate ethnic identity is referred to as an ethnogenesis. Okay, now when I'm talking about this, this dispels, this is this work right here, this dispels all of the nonsense about was Kemet all black? Was the Levant all black and descendants of Africans? Blah, blah, blah. That is a hell to the no. Because if you understand ethnic mixing and you understand the difference between race and ethnic, you will know that it was an admixture going throughout Mesopotamia, Sumer, Kemet, through the Levant, through Liberia, through Algeria, through Morocco, through Mauritania, through the Saharan Desert, throughout the Maghreb region, or the Maghreb region, going into southern sub-Saharan Africa, going over into the Sahel region, back down into South Africa. Some dipping off of the Maghreb, going into the Suez Canal, emptying into Israel and the Middle East, going over into Western and East Asia and Yemen, where you had different admixtures. That's why the Han Chinese are so highly race-populated under one ethnic structure. So if you're not scientifically inclined with proper source information, you sound foolish. And that's why it's really hard to argue with a fool. So I want everybody to know that. That when you listen to the Consul's Corner, you get this work. It's all about knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, everybody. It's really having a knowledge and understanding to imply wisdom of using both. And we have terminologies that have definitive meanings, so we don't get caught up in a bunch of rhetoric that people talk because they want to use big words and sound good. Just hold them accountable to their culture. I don't care about you pumping your fist, black power. Do you know African culture? Do you know where you come from? Is your center proper? That's the question for the black revolutionary and the black nationalist. Where do you come from? Who are you? Go back to who you are. Can you trace your ancestors to your center? That's what's important. So we do have to understand that, accept that, and deal with it. So ladies and gentlemen, this was a short show. It was really part two to part one. I really wanted to touch on some poignant, pragmatic subject matters within the construct of social change. And I really hope that those who listen really benefit. What I would like is everybody share this show. Let everybody know, replay it, listen to part one, come back and listen to part two. If you listen to this and you have experienced arguments and discussions about this, Hebrews versus that, Muslims versus that, we all talking about ethnicity. And it ain't got nothing to do with race, but you throw race in there as if it substantiates your ethnic culture. It does not. Because white people can adopt African culture if they're inclined to and if they're raised in that environment, if you understood it. So if it's happening now, believe me, it happened then. I can't remember the Caucasian woman's name who worked for the NAACP, and she just felt that she was a black woman. We were all upset. Well, you don't know what put her in that situation or that paradox. Her race had nothing to do with it. She had a choice to choose an ethnic group. It happens all the time. It happened throughout history. Get over it. Get with the real subject matter. So with that being said, man, I enjoyed tonight. I appreciate everybody that took the time to listen to Consu's Corner. Shout out to everybody. And let me say this before I end this show. Let me put this out here. I want to put out the programming schedule because we changed some things around, okay? And actually coming up this Monday, there's going to be a change with Consu's Corner. Oh, yeah, Consu's Corner will be coming to the Monday lineup every week starting this Monday. Consu's Corner will be airing Mondays at the same bat time, same bat channel, which is 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, and 6 p.m. Pacific. But starting tomorrow, which is Saturday, we got More Love at 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern. We have the Current on Sunday from 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern with Neferka, the Queen, Neferka. On Tuesday, Woman to Woman, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern with Queen Neferka and Queen Tiffany Akendo. And that is a phenomenal show. It is really a great show. Two black women showing that black women can be positive and black women can be happy. And it's a great, great show, man. And they really, really bring a different flair to WMLR. Thursday, man, this is one of my favorite shows where we get to let our hair down. And that's Brother, 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 the show dedicated to the Kangs. It's myself, Consu Shesh Mahmoud, and, of course, to Hootie the Fly Virgo. We're both hosting that show, Brother, Brother, Brother. And on Fridays, we're having a new show. I'm not quite sure. It's not quite done with our negotiations with the new host, but we're going to be bringing a new, powerful, dynamic show to WMLR. So there you have it, family. You've listened to a power-packed show. I hope I was able to enlighten you and give you, you know, a sense of understanding on social change. If you missed the show because you tuned in late, it's okay. Log back in. You'll be able to replay the show. Man, pass the link. You can come to WMLR's Facebook page, WMLR More Life Radio on Facebook.com. Join the group and get in tune with all the subject matter that WMLR has to offer. And with that being said, man, peace, love, and power to all my beautiful black people, my black African people. Consu loves every last one of you, man. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep that knowledge, wisdom, and power going on, man. One love. God manifest.
The awakening is real. Is real. It's your number one station, focused on rebuilding our nation. WMLR, More Life Radio, real radio on a blog talk platform.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?